The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 451. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going? Looks like I'm back.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
And Brian Majoma.
What up?
All right, people, apologies for the cold open. For some reason, none of my OBS effects wanted to work tonight. And I'm like, fuck it, we're doing it live. You know? Uh-oh. Logic wins, what's going on? Okay, now I know we are actually live. Good. Technical difficulties. No Adam action. We'll leave some of the details, but Adam was hit by an SUV. He's fine, recovering, but it's like, fuck, yeah. You know? But yeah, like literally he said, I'm sore, but I'm alive and walking. So there's a message from Adam there, but yeah, like, what is it, man? He's been hit by a truck, a car, and now an SUV, right?
He was hit by a van.
A van. Yeah.
When he and his girlfriend at the time were walking across the street, he protected her from getting the brunt of it, but he destroyed, his arm and a bunch of other stuff. So, yep, he's got the powers there. But man, like it's pretty nuts how he was able to. This happened. So, you know, all the best luck to him. I talked to his mom already, and we were all, you know, just amazed that he wasn't, you know, injured even more than it. He literally ended up on the cuff on the. So we think that he might have jumped right before the van hit him, before it hit him, because he was on the hood.
Yeah, he probably did jump, like, instinctively.
He probably just instinctively jumped and then ended up on the hood. So literally saving, like, pretty much like what the stuntmen do, right? Yeah. You know, usually what they do is they wait so right before they get hit, or like at the moment they get hit, they jump on the hood and it looks horrible, but they end up mostly injured. So,
and unfortunately, Adam has experience with this. So,
yeah.
That shit is crazy. Adam will be back when he can be back. But we are back with another one, man. I want to give a shout out to all the fans who joined us for episode 450 of both shows. Both were epically long, and you guys loved it. You guys were like 4 hours, you know? It was like, oh shit, it's Christmas, you know? So, good stuff, man. I'm going to vamp a little bit, let some people get in here, you know? How was everybody's Labor Day?
That was pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. I do have a story tangentially related to Adams. I've never been hit by a car, but I've hit someone with a car.
Oh, shit. Damn. You hit Adam? You know?
It wasn't Adam. I was driving and I was getting off of a parking lot from a fast food restaurant. And there's like I was going to make a right turn, and someone in a bike was riding down a hill. It was like downhill, and he's riding down what do you call that thing on the side of the road where people walk? Sidewalk. He was riding down the sidewalk.
The thing that people walk on the side of the road.
Dude was going through the sidewalk mad fast, and I pulled out my car trying to make a right turn, and the dude just hit my car.
Shit.
Yep.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. To other people's surprise, I've never been hit by a car. Because people, like, when they see me cars, like, Tony, what the fuck? You know, nope, never been hit by a car. Almost got hit by a car one time, but that's like one time in like 40 something years, you know, New York, man. If I'm going to get hit by a car, it's probably going to be my new neighborhood, man. Cause I live right by the, 59th Street Bridge and shit. And they need like cross guards on every single like turn, man. Cause motherfuckers go crazy, man. You know?
Is that where the Warriors go and drive by?
That's fucking. They're in Coney Island, right, Manny?
Yep, Coney Island. Yeah, they went from the Bronx to Coney Island.
Yeah, I don't fuck with either of those, the Bronx or Brooklyn, man. Fuck that shit. You know?
It wasn't me. It was the Warriors. The Warriors did it.
That has almost happened to me plenty of times. The fucking bicycle guys are more dangerous than the cars. You know? Because they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. They just keep going. Like, red light, I don't give a fuck. I'm in a bike, you know? Like, I hope you get hit, fucking asshole, you know?
I hate those people, and a lot of places have it, but in New York, when I was there, it's like all these people in dirt bikes thinking they need to wake up everyone in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I had a revelation, but it was one of those revelations where I felt like a fucking idiot, man. So, like, every time...
Is it a chocobo incident?
Maybe, potentially, you know? So every time, like, I go visit my mom back in Flushing, or when I visit my boy Mike in Long Island, I'm like, oh, shit, I hear airplanes. I don't hear those anymore. So my thinking was, you know, because airplanes can't fly over to Manhattan and shit after 9/11. But I'm like, it's kind of strange. So I live close to LaGuardia, right? So yesterday, in the morning and in the way back, I saw airplane going by, you know, like over on the east. This shit was so big I could read the fucking letters on it, right? But I couldn't hear it. I'm like, Tony, you fucking idiot, there's cars everywhere where you live and trains, of course you're not gonna hear any airplanes, you know? So yes, they pass by just like normal, and they pass a lot closer, you know, because in Flushing, you know, they're like way up in the sky, like this LaGuardia is right there. It's like I was like, oh, there's a Delta. You can see the logo on this shit, you know? But I couldn't hear it. Even I could see it, but yes, like trains, and no matter what time it is, I mean, granted, I'm like going out during like, you know, busy hours and stuff, so there's like cars everywhere. The more traffic was crazy this morning, man, motherfuckers was packed, you know? So I'm like, okay, that's why I don't hear planes. There's other shit going on, you know? Although when I take trips, I would still go to JFK though. I've heard nothing but bad things about LaGuardia, you know?
It's all right. I've flown over Manhattan. I don't know if Manny, when you went to Seattle, if you did the same, but
no, you wouldn't fly over.
You wouldn't fly. They don't allow that.
You would. I mean, in general, that would be out of the way because if anything, you're flying from Pennsylvania all the way over to Seattle. You wouldn't go up to New York and then, you know.
Oh, because you flew. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot I forgot you were from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I ain't from no fucking Pennsylvania.
Yeah, man, he's like, I'm here for life, son.
I just live in this shit.
You know, hey, yo, Carlos, man, today at the office, we had a pizza party. You know what we got, son.
Little Italy's,
man, that shit was good. You know, although the other day we had this pizza from this other place called Joe's across the street. Whew, that was good, too. Oh. You know?
Eat at Joe's.
Yeah. Man, you know that one. It's on 41st Street and 7th Avenue. It's around there. Yeah, so I'm like, this shit is good. But that little Italy's. And Carlos, there was enough left over. So now I got dinner for tomorrow night. You know?
Wait, one second.
Yeah, let's fucking go, son. Oh, man. Yeah, your boy's all shaved and shit, man.
What is that, man? You're looking pretty Lex Luthor right now.
Yeah, I said, fuck it. I was like, let me just embrace it, embrace the baldness. So I was like, fuck it. It's all off, you know? And I'm feeling good right now, man. I'm feeling good, well, feeling fresh, you know? And Chris, I didn't get any of that Gillette shit, you know? I got shit, baby.
There you go.
Fuck Gillette, man. Even though, you know, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, I think we vamped up.
Yo, man, you were like Gillette, man. He lived down the street. Yo.
No, man. After that specific commercial, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good. All right. Now we got the usual amount that we would have by this time. Let's jump into it, man. You already know what we're talking about. The game that's dominating the conversation.
Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate, yeah. Actually, there's some
Baldur's Gate news. Ball, dude. Come on.
Is it Dragon Ball Z? Brett?
Oh, it's Redfall.
Man. Yeah, it is Redfall. The greatest game of all time. Xbox.
The greatest game of all time.
You know? All right, man. You already know. Starfield, number one game that everyone's talking about. Controversies. So Ronnie, we're not going to talk about the controversial shit, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
What they do, Ray?
No, I'm not getting into that. I'm not getting into that.
Okay.
I'm a positive gamer. This week has made me want to gouge out my eyes with a fucking spoon. Holy shit.
Brett, do you now understand why I said what I said the other week?
Dude, I do. Like, I'll be honest. Okay. From Brett, the little tiny soapbox, like, the way y'all have been acting have made me honestly want to stop coming to bat for you. Like, not the people in the show, but, like, now gamers in general. Now you
understand, bruh. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Like, yeah. There's no reason for, like, that. None of it makes sense on any level, even down to, like, the links that people go to, and, like, the in-depth criticism and bullshit that they will go through for something that doesn't even matter to them. Like, people will spend 2 hours digging and researching to talk shit in an unfounded fashion, because it's like somebody who's heard of a lion before but hasn't actually ever seen a lion trying to describe to you what a lion looks like. Like, it's the amount of time and effort that they put in for unnecessary shit talking is just honestly fucking astounding to me.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin. Like, part of me wants to just go pop off and go fucking Super Saiyan on these motherfuckers and just, like, let them know how I really feel. But I'm trying to be courteous about, like, the whole thing. So, I'll just say, like, you guys who are just taking these super hot takes, like, y'all need to chill the fuck out because y'all are straight up toxic.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about, but I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, Brett, I am fully aware of what you're talking about. I'm just glad that you at least now understand where I'm coming from and why I wasn't apologetic about my comments, you know?
I mean, I still think it's definitely a certain group of people.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. But this is the fact that when I went, you know, because I was like, I at least owe an explanation to our fans, right? When I went to Discord and I said, hey, guys, you know, if what I said was upsetting, whatever, they were like, no, Tony, everything you said 100% correct. But we all go to the same source. We don't know what the source is, right? Twitter, you know, where all this bullshit is born from.
Yep.
But anyway, let's talk about some positive shit with Starfield, man. This is coming from Windows Central, naturally. My boy Samuel Tolbert wrote this. Nice. Starfield is Bethesda's biggest launch ever, with 6 million players on Xbox One and Windows PC. Pretty crazy. You know,
sounds good.
Yeah, not sold though, just players. You know, that's a distinction there. Here we go. It's early days for Bethesda Game Studios' new sci-fi role-playing title, but things are off to a strong start. Starfield already reached 6 million players the morning of September 7th, 2023, as shared by the game's official Twitter account. This comes not quite a full day after Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer shared that Starfield had 1 million concurrent players, including a peak of over 250,000 players on Steam at once. Bethesda Game Studios' last mainline single-player game, Fallout 4, released in 2015 and hit $750 million in revenue its first day. Maligned at launch in 2018 over major bugs and other issues, the multiplayer-focused Fallout 76 received numerous updates and reached over 11 million players as of 2021. Starfield is the first title from Bethesda Game Studios as an Xbox first-party game, and as such, launched day one on Xbox Game Pass, which is true, while also being exclusive to Xbox Series X and S consoles and Windows PC. Looking ahead, Bethesda Game Studios is also currently working on a current generation update of Fallout 4, though there is no update when to expect the update outside of 2023 release window. Cool. Just real quick, remember a couple weeks ago I was reading some fucking bullshit article. I could barely get through it because it was just written so poorly. You know, shout out to my man right here, Samuel. You heard how flowy that was, right? Excellent writer there, man. Shout out to him. You know, the last thing I'm going to read this whole thing is good. This is the biggest Xbox first party launch in a while, so it's great to see the work of the teams at Bethesda and Xbox rewarded. Much like Bethesda's other games, I expect that the arrival of modding tools and Creation Club content will ensure Starfield lives on for quite some time. This is true. It's also going to be interesting to see what effect this has on Xbox console sales, which have noticeably been outpaced by sales of the PlayStation 5 in 2023. One game alone won't, quote unquote, turn the tide, no matter how big and revenue in the Xbox business is healthy as is. But I expect many more players are now interested in grabbing an Xbox Series X console. Yeah, we talked about this the other day, where basically I think sales went up by like 1,000% or something. I'm not even exaggerating that number, by the way. It went over 1,000% on Amazon. So even though there's going to be a good, or there are a healthy amount of people playing this on fucking, I got distracted. Jossie, what's up? Even though there are a healthy amount of people playing this shit on Game Pass, people still want to buy the shit physically. So there you go, man. Sounds like this is the win Xbox needed. And it finally got it, man. Brett, I'm going to go to you since you're Mr. Starfield. What do you think of all this so far?
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I think this actually goes to show that despite what some of the discussions around, like, well, like, who even plays Bethesda games? Or like, these, you know, it's not a big deal. Like, dude, like, Bethesda Game Studios mainline games get traction, and I think that this is proof of that. I mean, that's honestly going to be I'll give you a hint. The theme of pretty much the shit I'm saying all night is like, oh yeah, it's a Bethesda Game Studios game in every sense, but in the reception, in the mechanics, in what it is, in the people talking shit. Like, I feel I'm getting super deja vu, but like, all in all, like, this seems to be more, and that's also kind of theme. It's a new Bethesda game, but more. So that would be the single sentence takeaway. But I mean, honestly, great. I'm not surprised. I want to be like, oh, that's fucking awesome. But like, come on, like, millions of people want to play one of the biggest, you know, studio's new game that's been in development for a decade. Like, that seems pretty reasonable to me. Awesome, but reasonable.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good stuff. I do want to get into some other things related to the game, though. Specifically, some comments Mr. Todd Howard said that didn't go over so well in the community. Because apparently, you know, like you said, it's a Bethesda game, so buggy as fuck. People are having problems playing it on their systems and stuff. You know, apparently it's just not doing too well on that end. And he was asked, I think it was like this was on a podcast. He was asked, why did you not optimize this game for PC? And he responds, we did. He goes, it's running great. It's a next-gen PC game. We really do push the technology, so you may need to upgrade your PC for this game. But it's got a lot of great stuff going on. Yeah. I don't need to read the rest. So, yeah, he basically said, oh, upgrade your shit. But the problem is, apparently, people are playing this thing even with, like, recommended specs or beyond, and they're having issues, you know? But this comment to me is so fucking hilarious to me. I'm like, I could respect it, man, you know, in a way. But it is an asshole kind. It is an asshole kind of thing. It's the equivalent of Don Matrick saying, we have a Xbox for that. Called the 360. Or, hey, you may want to get a second job for this, Mr. You know, so it's like, we, you know, these kind of comments come off. But I just find that shit fucking hilarious. Carlos, what's your take, man?
Yeah, when I was listening, I saw that snippet of the interview, and then I was just wondering, the interviewer, I think, I don't know what his intention was, because I think my first inkling was maybe he was trying to talk about not Starfield not having DLSS integration with it, because it has that AMD shit that that many people care about.
FSR, right?
FSR, yeah. And but it doesn't have DLSS. Which is a pretty big feature for a lot of these AAA games and on, you know, on Steam or on PC anywhere. And I thought that was sort of what he was trying to say, but apparently, you know, it was just more a mainline question. But yeah, the comment was kind of dumb, if you ask me.
Yeah,
you just don't say that when you're trying to sell a game.
Like, man, upgrade your shit, man. Your weak ass bullshit PC. Play our game. You know,
I mean, in a way I agree, but like, also, what kind of gotcha fucking question is that? Why didn't you optimize the game?
That was a stupid question too.
The fuck am I supposed to say that bullshit?
That's why I was like, were you trying to be more specific? Because that was a broad ass question. It's like, why are you such a bad person?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man.
Oh man.
That's how I take it. Like, why did you fail at what you set out to do? Was it on purpose?
Yeah. Chris, like, what's your take on it, man?
Well, he started off right. It's like, what can you say? You have to defend your position, right? You have to defend what the product you put out. I just think he should have said how you appease both situations. Should have said like, hey, we did optimize it. We did testing, whatever. If people are having problems, we'll look into it. We'll, you know, you can always contact our support. You can leave comments, whatever, and we'll try to see if there's any hardware ambiguities with the Radeons or NVIDIA or whatever. Yeah. We'll try to figure it out. Like there was a way to like smooth it to have both things, but then he's like, oh, we optimize it. It's your fault. That's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. People just get mad, you know, especially if you just got a rig. Let's say you got a rig maybe early this year, right? You spend a ton of money on it. You got a 40 series NVIDIA or whatever, and then Starfield runs like shit. And then he says that. You're like, well, fuck you, man.
I mean, if it's running on Series X, then for well, that's, it not to that run also on your
is, PC. Yeah, that's also why people are getting mad. It's like the Series X is like years behind like current gen PCs, and yet it's running fine on there.
Yeah, that's why. I guess that's why the optimization part of the question comes in.
Yeah, that's the conversation I was having with Dumeke in the chat, and he's right. It's like, yeah, he's in the chat tonight too, man. But he's right. It's like, hold on, you could get this game running on his bitch ass weak ass console, but you having a problem with PC? Okay, bruh, you know, because the S is trash. Anyway, go on.
Has anyone? Yeah, I'll go ahead, Chris.
No, I mean that. I didn't have anything wins. Else. Yeah, that I didn't have anything.
Yeah, no, real quick. I'm with Tony on this one. With UFC 5, for example, some dude was crying in the comments about the game not being on PS4, Xbox One. My dude, stop holding gaming back. Upgrade your cheap ass, mofo. That's right. Upgrade your shit. You know, and by the way, and I'm saying this as somebody who doesn't meet the requirements for Starfield. Yeah. Fuck. Like, I exceed the minimum requirements for like the recommended shit. I'm like, fuck. I'm looking at my joint right now. I'm like, bruh.
You start sweating.
Yeah, no. No, I just look at it with like disappointment. I'm like, man, you used to be the shit, man. You used to be the shit. You know, now look at you, man. You used to be something. You used to be something with your 11th gen fucking Intel CPU, man. With your 3080 Ti, man. That ain't shit no more, motherfucker. Anyway, go on. 32 gigs of RAM, you ain't shit.
I do want to mention the hypocrisy because Phil was in that conversation, not just Todd Howard.
Todd Howard.
But remember, No Gamer Left Behind.
Yeah, Phil, what happened? Why don't you speak up, bro? You know, plenty of gamers being left behind now. You know, like I can't run it on my shit. You know, upgrade, motherfucker.
No Gamer was left behind for as long as he said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I know some people got very, very upset about it, but I found that shit hilarious. Like, upgrade your PC. I don't know why I said like it, but it just felt right, you know, to say it that way. Upgrade your shit.
I mean, you know.
Have you thought about upgrading? I mean,
get paid.
Have you thought about getting a second job? You know, maybe he meant capital G gamers. I love how that's spreading among the community now.
I mean, it just sounds like, have you considered not being a bit?
Have you considered not being poor? That's what it sounds like, you know. Oh my god, that was pretty tone deaf shit, man. Let's just be real.
Well, I mean, okay, so like I got to think it's only got to be like it's got to be a bug or issues with PC or something like that, because again, like if it's optimized down to like being able to work on the consoles, then like between that and again like the why didn't you optimize for PC, like, bitch, I would probably say the same thing. That's what maybe I'm a little bit forgiving on that, but I'd be like, we did, like the follow up to that was kind of the dude, you said the quiet part out loud, you should have just kept that quiet part quiet.
Yeah. I do have a question though, Brett. Like, because you called out the Star Wars game for being shit on PC. What about this game?
I'm not forgiving it for being shit on PC. In fact, I don't actually know it's good. This is kind of the first I've heard about it. It's weird. Like, I'm having a tough time cutting through the noise on this because, like, I hear people being like, this is the least buggy Bethesda game ever. And I also hear people being like, this game is a buggy mess. And I'm like, well, which one is it? Because obviously some of that is just people saying what they want to believe. I just don't know on which side. And like, are there a bunch of people that have been like, this game's going to be a buggy piece of shit before it comes out? Like, I'll be honest, haven't had any bug. Have had one bug. One bug. There was a guy who was kind of, he looked a little crumpled. And he was kind of T-posing in, like, a chair. Like, I have no idea how he got stuck in a chair or, like, a couch. But, like, one guy was kind of just, yeah, like, his character model was all fucking weird. But other than that, I really haven't run into any issues or bugs or anything. No, I've had remarkably good luck.
That's the rule of Brett.
I'm not taking that to mean anything, but I don't know, like, my personal experience is not that many bugs. I've heard lots of people say not that many bugs, and I've heard other people be like, buggy piece of shit. So I don't know.
This is a buggy piece of crap.
That's the rule of Brett, because, like, the game, like, games that are like buggy to other people, they're not buggy to you, but then games that aren't buggy to people, they are buggy to you, you know?
I generally have this field,
I believe, you know?
Yeah, so it's impossible, or it's possible, since I'm doing fine, that other people are having lots of problems. Like, my big question before I could address the whole, like, well, this game is not optimized on PC at all. Like, okay, well, let's go through the basic troubleshooting tips. Like, what about it isn't optimized? What graphics card are you using? Like, because I think it's supposed to be optimized. If it isn't, that sounds like it's an issue rather than just being like, fuck you. So,
well,
like,
I will say this.
Like which brand of video cards are having problems? With generations? Like, with, I need to know more.
The fact that it doesn't have DLSS support is a bad sign, because it's DLSS is a standard that, you know, most AAA games have, and that would alleviate a lot of performance issues.
I thought that was a fairly, like, maybe I'm just, you know, new to getting back into PCs, but isn't that a fairly recent thing?
No.
Depends which one you're talking about, because, again, there's a bunch of different versions. If I remember correctly, the first PC game that came out with DLSS was Final Fantasy 15. So from that, you can judge how old the tech is. But that was version 1. And
okay.
There's version 2 and 3. I would not remember.
Yeah. So, but you're right, though. It's like, it's less than 10 years old, though.
Yeah, less than 10 years old.
Yeah. You're right about that.
It's older than current gen consoles, Brett. Take that for what's worth.
Well, current gen consoles came out in 2020.
Yeah,
it's older than that. So,
okay.
Brian's right. I was like, wait, there's nothing wrong with that statement.
Yeah, I misheard him.
Technically, the truth.
But there's one thing, Brett. I was about to say, Brett, if only you knew someone that plays on PC who may or may not be playing a game right now, because there's nothing else to play at the moment. From what I've experienced two bugs so far, none of them major, just some UI stuff, and one where I killed this bug in my ship, and then I took off, and then in the cutscene, the bug is like falling out of the back of the ship, and it's like, okay, cool, yeah. Dead bugs can phase through walls, as they do. But to answer what you've heard, it seems to be more of what people are saying first, in that this is the least buggy Bethesda game so far. Again, I'm 6 hours in, and that's only two things I've faced compared to, like, Fallout and Skyrim, where I was pretty much launch week with those games. So take that what you will. I'm fairly satisfied. I was the one who said that if there's any major issues, then I would be the first one calling it out, and so far I've not come across any. I've seen some videos of some weird stuff, but then again, that's it's the law of large numbers. That's bound to happen. It's fairly stable. I'm really happy. There's one thing that really annoyed me that is very strange. There's no FOV slider on PC, which is incredibly weird.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea why, because I just assume that that was just a thing that all games have on PC now, because it's just a thing. But there's no FOV slider. But there is support for ultra-wide monitors, which is better than Fallout 4, because that launched with none. No, I think it was either 4 or 76. It launched with no support for ultra-wide, but this has support for ultra-wide, but no FOV. So I don't know what Todd's doing over there.
Hey, Brian, have you been keeping a close eye on, like, you know, the bugginess on PC? Or to be more specific, have you seen any, like, people with AMD shit? Like, are they having any issues with the game?
Generally, I'm just trying to avoid the discourse, because after the whole fallout from the pronouns and thingamajig on Twitter, I was like, oh wow, this is this is getting really weird and bad, and everyone's just angry at everyone else. So I'll just minimize that window and just wait.
I think that's
so
fair.
I've not had, but I've noticed that people made like DLSS mods for it.
I saw
like
that
2 days after launch. And again, that always begs the question, if it takes modders 2 days to do it, this game was delayed by 1 year. What's their excuse?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
No, you're right.
It just seems really strange.
Well, I mean, you know, the prevailing wisdom is that, you know, when a Bethesda game comes out, you have to wait for the community to fix it, you know? That's what I'm kind of doing, too.
That shouldn't be the standard.
It should not at all. I agree.
My tinfoil hat theory is that they had an under-the-table thing with AMD. Because why the hell do they have FSR before fucking DLSS?
Yeah, that is so weird. Like DLSS is like pretty like prevalent now. By the way, Brian, I thought you were going to say I generally stay away from AMD users. I thought you were going to say that.
You stayed away from QL?
Yeah, he stays away from QL, you know? And it's funny because QL was like fucking with AMD before they got good, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's been an AMD head for like... almost two decades at this point.
That's crazy to me. Yeah, because then the AMD really started getting good when Homegirl became the CEO. Like, that's when they finally started turning things around, at least with the CPU part. I know the GPUs, they still got to get their shit together.
I mean, the GPUs have always been half decent, but they were never on par with NVIDIA. Yeah. And like the last couple of years, they've made a better effort at getting to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, they did announce a partnership with AMD, right, Carlos?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. And that may be it.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Should have partnered with NVIDIA, man.
Yeah. So, Brian, I'm curious, what do you think about the game?
It's exactly what I assumed it was. It's a Bethesda game. Which I know...
In space!
Yeah. It's not very useful to describe a game as a Bethesda game, apart from when it is incredibly useful, because that's exactly what it is. Like I think the best marketing that you can say is, if you like Fallout and you like Skyrim and you like space, you like this. And that's pretty much it.
Because it's what you expected, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Again, there are some small things that I can question as to like why things are the way they are. For example, why aren't there any ground vehicles to pilots? I would think that would make a great addition, because walking everywhere on planets is kind of a bit dull, and it's just really boring.
Brian, again, wait for it. You know the modding community will do something about that.
Oh, I'm sure they would, but it's just kind of like, okay, you have a massive space, you have a ship. I'd assume either you could pilot the ship around the surface to get there faster, or there's ground vehicles and neither of them exist. So that's slight weirdness. I can forgive the loading screens. I know that's very controversial. Everyone's like, oh yeah, you loading screen to get in the ship, loading screen to get in the cockpit, loading screen to get into space, loading screen to do this. It's like, I can forgive that, because again, it's not meant to be a space game like that. So I can forgive that.
This is the thing that bothered me a little bit when everybody was complaining about that. They're like, if I want to go to another planet, I got to go through this, and I have to jump in the air, I have to jump the ship, and then I have to open my map. I was like, bro, you can literally just open your map and like fast travel to like anywhere. Like, I understand that if you want to seamlessly go through the steps, it's broken immersion. But that's like being like, well, you know, I don't use fast travel whenever I play Skyrim. I just like to get on my horse and go places. Like, that's fucking stupid. That's fine if that's your immersion. If you just want to be able to get on your horse and ride out of town and ride to another place and ride in and then get off your horse instead of instantaneously fast traveling, but I don't know how many points I dock for that, to be 100% honest, because that's just a weird way to play the game.
It is weird, yes, but again, someone who's played tons of Elite Dangerous, where you can like land on a planet and fly out into space and then literally fly over to like another planet and land on that in like with mostly no loading screens.
Well, yeah, but if this were No Man's Sky, where you could like, you know, fly down to the planet and then fly back up to the planet, or, you know, if this were Elite Dangerous, but like, I guess it's just, in my opinion, like, it isn't trying to be, though. This feels more like Mass Effect to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, even better, Brett, as someone who has done that stuff, after a while, there's nothing to it. It just kind of gets, it just feels like an extended loading screen where you don't really do much. Like, re-entry, for the most part, is just pointing at a good angle and then just waiting. And that's all it is. Like, there is no gameplay to do when you're re-entering. Like, granted, the gameplay is making sure that your angle of approach is right. Again, if you're too steep, then you'll fall out. If you're too shallow, then you just glide. But that's about it. You know, like, once you set your angle, then you're good to go and you don't need to do anything. Like, usually, in those cases, I'll just hop on Twitter or switch tabs and wait until my computer says, oh, yeah, I'm now out. But
wait, those loading screens take that long?
No, it's not really a loading screen. It's just it's equivalent to a loading screen, as there's not really much you can do.
Like, he's the elevator, about another Mass game.
The docking process.
No, in Elite Dangerous, it's just like pitching your ship down and then just gliding through as you go through the atmosphere, and then just waiting. Like, you don't really do anything else. Like, granted, you can check your cargo, you can allocate stuff to your systems and stuff like that, but there's not really anything, there's not much to do when you're entering or leaving a planet. So, hence, I'm not that mad that it's not there. I know that some people are like, oh yeah, it's very weird and immersion breaking. It is immersion breaking. It would be nice if it's there, but honestly, the fact that it's not there, I'm not going to fall over and die. It's like, okay, it's fine. You know, if I want that, then I'll go to Elite Dangerous. I know it has that and tons of that.
Yeah, couple of things here. I want to read from Dumeke. Where was it? Here we go. No ground vehicles, really? Didn't know that. Space game with small spaces to explore. Wouldn't it be better to have options, though? Every open world game also has fast travel. So he seems to think it's like limited in that sense.
But it's not like, here's the thing, like, we had
what's up, Carlos?
I just like how Brad gets super defensive about everything.
I'm just frustrated by like the lack of understanding here. Like, I get it, but like, why does everybody expect this or want this to be No Man's Sky? Like, again, like, I compare this a lot to Mass Effect. Like, this feels like if Mass Effect were made by Bethesda. That's the best pitch I can give for it. And again, it's saying a Bethesda game is a Bethesda game isn't super helpful, except, as Brian said, when it's extremely helpful, and this is one of those instances. So, that being said, like, I didn't feel limited when I played Mass Effect because, like, I couldn't fly through the atmosphere down to the ground, or because I had to go through menus or loading screens. Now, granted, that is an old fucking game at that point. I understand that. But like,
Jason brings up a good point.
He brings up a good point. Mass Effect has vehicles, so Mako for life, son.
Mako.
Yeah. I have a theory about the vehicles. That's my personal theory, but
Blue says Mass Effect isn't an open world game, though.
How do you define an open world game?
It's not. Let's just put that on the table. It's not an open world game. Not at all.
Okay. I don't know how you define an open world game in space, other than like, and maybe that's where the confusion comes from, other than like maybe like a No Man's Sky where it's one seamless thing, but like the nature of space travel in any space game that I've ever played, even the ones where you can directly go from one place to another, is it's not like you just jump in your ship and you're like, whoop-a-shoo, all right, I'm at the next planet now. Like, it's you jump in your ship and you go through like a cinematic or a loading screen or something like that. Like, it's like saying, like, you know, oh, God of War didn't have that many loading screens. Like, yeah, no, because it made you crawl through fucking tunnels all the time and just hid the rendering behind that shit. Like, it doesn't make it not a sort of a weird loading screen or the same kind of experience.
Hey, so, man. Like, we criticized God of War.
Yeah, we did criticize that. Yep. Heavily for that.
Yeah, well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, well, it's so I guess I'm trying to think of how you would even qualify or how you would even do an open world game like that. Like, do you consider the new Star Wars that came out to be a kind of open world game? Like, I guess I'd probably say it's more semi-open world, but again, I
thought about this, and I'm glad you bring it up now. I don't think you can do an open world space game with our technology. I don't think it's possible.
I just don't know how you would execute it, to be real honest. Other than doing a bunch of janky ass shortcuts, which are just hiding the fact that it's not actually an open world game.
Yeah, like
Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, Elite Dangerous is probably the only version that is actually an open world space game.
Elite Dangerous or No Man's Sky. And maybe that's the question that I've been looking for. I'm like, why does everybody think this game is No Man's Sky? Like, maybe they're just open world plus space equals in their brain. It has to be like No Man's Sky for it to qualify for both of those things. And maybe that's
Manny, can you mute yourself?
Fair.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Go ahead, Brett.
Well, just like, maybe that's why everybody feels like this game should be No Man's Sky. And, you know,
I have to be that guy, man. I have to be that guy, Brett. I have to be that guy. Remember, we were talking about how Baldur's Gate set like a new precedent and stuff. And you pretty much were saying like, yeah, it did. And other games may need to step up. Can't the same be said of No Man's Sky, that it set a new precedent and other games should follow suit?
Yeah, I want to say yes, but it only did some things really well. Like, it doesn't do, and granted, it's come a long way. I even just watched a video about all the new stuff that it's come with. But like, even its quest structure, very rudimentary. It doesn't have an open world. It has a lot of the same shit that people are bitching at Starfield about. Like, I love the fact that everyone's like, well, why isn't this game No Man's Sky? Like, you know, No Man's Sky just copy paste every single, like, there's six buildings in No Man's Sky for the most part that I've seen. That maybe there's a bunch more, like the weird random procedurally generated cities or whatnot, but for the most part, it does a very specific thing very well. And that very specific thing is you can land on planets and look at life and fly up and just go somewhere else and fly to that star and just go anywhere you want, do anything you want. But none of that is going to scratch that kind of RPG, Outer Worlds, Starfield kind of itch that I'm looking for if I want to play an immersive narrative game. It also, you know, just, it doesn't, it's fun, but also, like, even just playing Starfield, like, dude, the vibe check on that game is fucking crazy. Just the sound design and everything comes together to just kind of make you, every once in a while, be able to talk about, like, man, the atmosphere in this game is really, it is just genuinely on point. Which I actually found weirdly a little surprising. But it does not, No Man's Sky doesn't do the things that a typical RPG does. And I don't know that you would even be able to qualify in any form or fashion as an RPG. So, like, should we live in a world where a game can do both? Ideally, yes. In a perfect world, yes. Now, is that possible? I don't know. I genuinely don't know if you could make a Starfield No Man's Sky crossover. I don't even know if that's fucking possible with the technology that we have. And if it did, or if it was, I don't know that anybody's computer would be able to handle it. I'd be real interested in that. But the one thing I can tell you is Bethesda has a lot of people that try and make their type of games, and they never happen. They never work. I have yet in my entire adult life, since Morrowind, seen somebody been able to nail that Bethesda formula other than Bethesda Game Studios. And people have fucking tried. Oh, lordy, they've tried. Every time, because these games are always wildly successful, and they always get copycats. And it's never worked. So to say, like, well, oh, you know, I can't even say we get Bethesda Game Studios-type games all the time, because that's not true. So to go beyond that and to say, well, why can't I have a Bethesda-style game that's also No Man's Sky, another game that, other than Elite Dangerous, and I'd argue that Elite Dangerous kind of does different things, that other than No Man's Sky, no other game has been able to do. So why can't I have these two games that just did kind of industry-setting, genre-building first and combine them into one super game? Well, feels like it's maybe asking a little much, man.
Well, you know who else is asking a little much? Todd Howard, when he's telling people to upgrade their shits.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, no, Brett, my general sense is kind of what you said. I don't think we have the technology to deliver, like, well, I mean, we do have Elite Genius, but I'm talking about to deliver an open world game on the level of a Bethesda game that's like, you know, every single planet is as, like, detailed and shit. I don't think we have that technology yet, you know?
I think probably it's just not. More time with that. That takes a long ass time.
My thing is, like, this and games like Elite Dangerous and No Man's Sky, they kind of feel like different games in that they're trying to achieve different things. Like with this, it's, well, with Starfield, it feels more like it's trying to be a narrative-driven RPG game set in space, whereas Elite Dangerous seems to be more like a space simulator. You know, it's not trying to be a narrative. In fact, there's not really much of a narrative. It's just kind of like, hey, you're in space, now do stuff. Good luck, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like the comparisons are kind of like trying to squish two things that kind of like are kind of in the same region and say, why aren't they like each other? You know, it's like, I can understand people wanting to do that, but I think it's not right. It's not correct. If we're trying to say, why isn't The Witcher like Baldur's Gate? It's like, granted, they both are RPGs, but they're different types of RPGs. You know, they serve different purposes. They attract different audiences. They're not meant to be the same thing. Like, one can exist with the other one, because, again, they're not trying to compete. So when Brett's saying that, oh yeah, people are asking why isn't this like No Man's Sky? It's like, I don't think it's trying to be like No Man's Sky. I think it's just trying to be a game set in space. You know? So it just so happens to be that No Man's Sky is a game also set in space. And I don't feel like people are making apt comparisons between the two.
I think it's just specific gameplay features. I don't think anybody's saying, hey, why isn't the narrative like No Man's Sky? Or
the exploration of No Man's Sky, but it's like, do you really want randomly generated worlds? Do you really want that? You know,
I feel like this is being like standing up and being like, excuse me, why doesn't basketball have innings? They both have balls. Like, I mean, you're technically right, and then in theory we could cram those together and see how it goes, but like, I just because they both have balls doesn't mean that we necessarily need to do both. You know, it's soccer doesn't need field goals. It doesn't. Would soccer be better with field goals? You may feel that way. I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. Why wasn't your game optimized for PC? It's an interesting question, man. Jay Shep, what's going on, brother? He goes, some of the issues is how Starfield was advertised. It was advertised to sound similar to No Man's Sky. Was it? Because it sounded to me like it was advertised to be a Bethesda game in space.
I never got that.
I have
been constantly saying on this podcast, no, it's not going to be No Man's Sky. Don't expect it to be No Man's Sky. I don't know why people keep expecting it to be No Man's Sky. I've checked the date. Like, even when we were talking about this and I was like, let me go back and look at the advertisements and let me go back and look at the things that they've said. I've never heard them say anything that led me to believe it's No Man's Sky. And I would gently ask anybody who has proof of that to please post it up so I can see what the fuck people are talking about.
By the way, No Man's Sky was advertised as something that wasn't No Man's Sky.
Yeah, that's right.
But
Starfield was always advertised as, hey, do you like Fallout? You could do that in space. That's literally how it was advertised, you know? I think there's another, Order 1886 situation where people are like, oh, it's a four-player co-op online game. No, it's not. They never told you that. You made that assumption, you know?
Yep. So in this situation is that just for the plain fact that it's in space means that it's going to be, No Man's Sky or Elite Dangerous. Did Bethesda ever say that?
Yeah, no, I don't believe it. Again, like Brett said, if they did, please show us that, you know?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like false advertising.
You know what? Jay Shep, my motherfucking man right there. You're right. They said Skyrim in space. You are correct, sir. You are correct, sir. You know? Todd Howard advertised it as you can do more than what you can. You can, but that doesn't mean No Man's Sky, you know? And remember, Jay Shep, because I know you're like, you haven't heard me talk about Bethesda as much. I'm probably the harshest critic of Bethesda games. Even though I enjoy them, I am very critical of them, so I'm not like capping for this game. And when I say capping, I'm talking about the traditional version of the word capping, because you motherfuckers changed the line. Capping doesn't mean fucking lying. It means shilling, all right? Anyway, go on. here we go. Hey, Brett, question for you. From Dumeke. Ask Brett how many more Bethesda games can launch before it's no longer okay. Seems to me that in 10 years of development, they have just released the same shit in space. Brett, before you answer, can I answer? My thing is, like, you don't get these games very often. So when you get it, if it's not different, you don't care because it's giving you exactly what you want. And again, I'm saying this as somebody who is very critical of Bethesda. If they're the only people that give you that specific flavor, you want that specific flavor. You don't want some fucking alterations. Like, oh, you like that pizza? Let's throw some pineapples on it. Said, how about no? Give me my motherfucking pizza with pepperoni and cheese. Leave that pineapple shit out of it. You know? So that's my answer to it. It's like, listen, Bethesda makes these specific games. The bugs and all that crazy shit is part of the flavor. People like that shit, you know? So why change it? That's my point. Anyway, go ahead, Brett.
It's the whole conversation.
I wouldn't say people necessarily like that shit, but I mean,
the Bethesda hardcore people, you know?
No, I don't think it's that anybody really cares for it. I think the thing about it's more tolerated.
Yeah.
And when you look at the amount of things that you can do in the game already, I think that outweighs any sort of misgivings when it comes to glitchiness, especially when it comes to those games. It's the same shit that happens with the Grand Theft Auto games. To be honest, I never liked Grand Theft Auto's games because I felt they were glitchy and horrible. But the amount of things that you can do in those games outweighs the procedural parts of it that, you know, wig out every so often.
Blitz says, surely Bethesda fans would prefer a better product. Maybe, but they like...
No! Again, God damn it, no!
Okay, Brett, you go on. You're the Bethesda guy here. Go ahead.
Fucking quit it. All right? Like, I'm kind of up to here with y'all doing this shit.
I just imagine Brett hitting Dubeck on the nose for the fucking newspaper right now. Quit it. Stop it. Stop it right now.
It's about like, fucking quit it. Like, here's the thing. We get the people who enjoy this thing. They are doing something so large that it is almost uncontrollable. And they're the only people who have ever been able to do it, right? And not just that, they drop one of these motherfuckers once a decade, right? Once a decade. You know how many other fucking video games they come out with? For the rest of y'all that don't like Bethesda games, here's a hint. Fucking all of them. So quit showing up to my party and bitching that you don't like the fucking decorations, because we do this shit once a decade, and God forbid anybody fucking listens to your inane bitch ass pandering on the fucking internet. My ass is never gonna get another one of these. I'm 40. I have maybe 2 Bethesda games left before I fucking die. Just fuck off already and back up off my shit. I like it. Obviously other people like it. These are some of the best-selling fucking games ever. How do people keep looking at this and being like, how are these games going to keep selling? Like fucking hotcakes, apparently, because each one keeps selling more than the last. And they keep getting better reviews. And the people who love these games keep loving them more. I've already heard people not only say, in fact, not just people, I've heard David Jaffe say it's one of his top 3 games of all fucking time. So obviously people love them. I know you may not be that person. But again, fuck off. I get one of these every 10 years. Go do something else. Go play Jedi Fallen Order or whatever. If you want No Man's Sky, that game fucking exists. Go play that game. Quit yelling on the internet about a game that I'm fucking enjoying, because, again, God forbid, they shouldn't fucking listen to you. You're not their goddamn audience anyway. Y'all want to sit here and talk shit whenever anybody else does that to you, whenever anybody else comes in and steps on your goddamn toes about a franchise that you fucking love. But then when something comes out that is possible fucking ammo for your stupid-ass little console war, you pick it up and do the same shit that you bitch on the internet about other people doing at the drop of a fucking hat, and then do it to ad nauseum until not just gamers, but the entire fucking internet is so sick of hearing your shit that they just tune out. Why do you go to such great lengths to ruin other people's fun? Jesus fucking Christ. And this wasn't all directed at you. If you can't tell, this has been building up for a goddamn minute, and I'm just yelling at clouds right now. But you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and catch the bitch end of it. I'm sorry for that. I've said my piece. I'm out.
Oh man, no, we're not gonna post that on Twitter because we don't want Brett to end up like the pronoun guy, you know. But just like that dude, that rant that you saw that made waves last weekend wasn't just because of seeing those pronouns. It was off of years off of the shit being shoveled into games. So just like Brett has been dealing with that for years, my man's been dealing with that shit for years. So that what you just heard right now, that doesn't come off of one comment you heard now. This has been building for years, you know. And Brett, I'm with it, man. That is a great rant, you know. Great stuff. Oh, man. And again, now you understand better why I'm tired of the gaming community. Oh, man. Starfield, baby. I want to read this other thing that Mr. Todd Howard said about the benefits of Starfield being an Xbox exclusive. Very interesting. So he said this on the Bay Say. Speaking to the BBC, Howard stressed that working to one console lets the development team focus, which in turn, quote, yields a better product. He goes, when you're making something exclusive, then the more you can focus. You know this is the hardware or the thing people are playing on, so the ability to focus on that always yields a better product. You do want people to be able to access it, of course, but being with Xbox means there's an ease of access for us, and I'm told we're expecting more people playing this launch than anything we've ever done before, and that's despite the success of previous games. Yeah, I mean, when you only have one console to focus on, you know, it's a easier job, you know. We've been saying that shit for years, you know.
Oh, and when you are the first and only super legitimate AAA title on that, like, let's be honest, they're kind of in a small pond right now. Everybody who owns an Xbox is playing this game because there are other games to play now, but just not, you know, still a shit ton. And not like this. Nope. Nobody who plays an Xbox or who owns an Xbox isn't playing Starfield.
That's a good question. Like, who isn't playing Starfield that owns an Xbox?
People who don't own Game Pass. And
yeah, there are still a lot of people who have Xbox that don't got Game Pass, though, which is interesting.
Oh, I know. But if you're interested in this, then I still think of like, that's $15 to give it a try. Like, such a low barrier for entry.
Yeah, and like I said, it had 6 million players there, so that's something. But like you said, you know, again, you already know where my frustration comes from, right? So I'm like, cool, 6 million players, that doesn't tell me anything, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go over, but you know where my frustration comes. Like if you would have told me 6 million copies sold, I'd be like, oh, shit. It's just gotten real, you know?
I mean, concurrent players and, you know, highest concurrent players, they're actually slowly, they're starting to become a more reliable metric the more context we have to put them in. And I think that's just going to be the future of it because, and I don't even blame consoles. I don't even blame fucking Game Pass. I blame games like Fortnite for that shit. Just free to play giant ass games that make billions of dollars that people play the fuck out of. Like, how do you even compare that to a God of War? Well, how many people were playing it? How many people have played it? How many people even picked it up and put in? Because again, you can't then be like, well, how many hours have you put into it? Well, some games are 12-hour games. Some games have 1,000 hours you can put into it. Like, if you do it by that metric, Baldur's Gate is going to win everything every year forever because people are just going to be like 900 hours into that goddamn game. So I guess concurrent players is the best we have right now. There is no truth. We all live in a gray area.
But here's my thing. This is why I don't like concurrent players, because those could be fly-by-night gamers, you know? It's like they dabble in it and then they dip, you know? It's like if you tell me you have like a million concurrent players over a bunch of years consistently, okay, I'm with you on that one. But if you have like a million concurrent players and then the next week is like 200,000, I'm like, okay, you know, it's just fly-by-night people, you know?
Yeah. Well, like Twitter, trust me,
meanwhile, when you buy a fucking game, it doesn't fucking matter. You bought the game. That is a sale, you know?
Yeah, but like, I love Bethesda games. There's very few Bethesda stands bigger than fucking me. I'll admit that right now. But like, I didn't buy the game. So if I didn't buy the game, I don't know what the fuck that does to the numbers. I mean, obviously, literally, it just means one less. But like, other people have to be in the same boat. But like, I guess I'm just playing this for free-ish?
Yeah, pretty much. Jay Shep goes, also remember hearing there would be in-game purchases, but there are none, which is great. Was Starfield supposed to have in-game purchases? I haven't heard about that. Glad they're not in it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't hear they were going to be in there, but for the most part, there's a reason you didn't hear me complimenting Starfield the way I've complimented Baldur's Gate in terms of, hey, I got a mostly bug-free, complete fleshed out experience that seems to be made with love on arrival. The difference here is being owned by Microsoft and being something built, in my opinion, basically for Game Pass. All of those things are them trying to get you to play and enjoy the game, which is great, but it's not them being good guys, right? It's them trying to get as much engagement as possible out of you and kind of not, and you know, towing the line with not trying to make you do a whole bunch of busy work to kind of get there. So while I think that they kind of end up in the same place, Baldur's Gate definitely deserves a tip of the hat of being like, Baldur's Gate is just kind of good guy, old CD Projekt Red standard. Bethesda, our motives align.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any more opinion on Todd Howard saying that exclusivity benefited Starfield?
Nothing on that, but just add on the previous point about the sales number. We kind of do have sales for it, but it's slightly outdated. So if you bought like the super edition of Starfield for like $100, you could get the, I think, like 5 days access or whatever. So all the people that were playing it for the past week before it's released, they technically bought it because there's no way to get it on Game Pass like that. Even if it is, then you still need to pay to get the upgraded edition. So I think back then they said, I don't remember if it was 1 million concurrent on Steam and Xbox, or it was a million on both. So you could say it has at least 1 million sales so far.
Okay.
At minimum, 1 million sales.
Yeah, at minimum. And that's across both platforms, Brian? Xbox and PC? Or just PC?
Yes. I'm thinking worst case, yes, across everything.
All right, cool. I would love numbers, but either way, it's probably a success by Xbox's metrics, so we could probably say that safely, you know? It's just we just can't do it the traditional way anymore. Oh, yeah, hold on. There was another comment here that Todd Howard said people kind of latched onto. I do also think people attach brands to certain games. When you think of Zelda, you think of the Switch, and I think there are times that can be a real benefit. So he said that's another benefit of exclusivity as well. Although, you know, again, I've said this before on the show, I don't associate, even though obviously I know it's an Xbox game, I know it's an Xbox game, but I still don't associate with Xbox. To me, it's just, you know, a Bethesda game. You know, that's how I associate it as. But I understand what he's coming from with that interesting stuff.
Maybe for younger people, like, I mean, when you make a game every 10 years, I guess you got to worry about how, you know, the next generation is going to see you. So maybe it's, you know, about continuing that brand identity, because I would have thought the same thing, Tony, but the amount of people that are like, what do you mean by it's a Bethesda game have truly shocked me. So apparently some people just don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. But how do you not know, man? You know?
Well, and to think about it, like, you need at least two things to kind of start to form a pattern, right? Like, so if you've played Fallout, you've played Skyrim, like, how old do you have to be to have played both of those?
Like, minimum?
I want to say, like, that's like 10 years of releases right there, if not more.
Well, I mean, they could have bought them last year and played both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All right, moving on here.
Can I just add a few things?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Yeah, because
just because I know that you like numbers. I looked at our favorite site for judging how popular a game is, Twitch.tv. Starfield is currently, well, game-wise, it's the fifth most viewed game at this moment in time with 66,000 viewers.
Can I guess the GTA is number one?
Oh, Carlos, you would be very surprised to hear it is number one. Yeah. With 120,000 viewers.
That motherfucking
I don't
game.
Understand how that makes sense. Doesn't everyone already have the game? So who's watching it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
People who want to figure out this week's secret blah, blah, blah. What number is Diablo on there, Brian?
On Twitch?
Diablo.
Okay. It's
I'm just going to see how long it takes to find it.
And Brian's like, okay, next page. Next page.
Baldur's Gate is 16,000. I have no idea. I can't find it. Unless I missed it. Okay, let me check real quick. Diablo 4.
Diablo. Oh. No one's talking about that game anymore.
A whopping 1,300 viewers.
Oh, uh-oh.
Oh, God.
So that tells you something.
That game died so fast. Remember when I said, like, there was, like, a Doctor Strange one universe where if they handled this the exact wrong way that it might be the end of their fucking reputation and company? This is that one.
Man.
Yo, man, let the fans who like that game to enjoy it, man.
Brett is one of the fans, though, or he was.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Oh, I love
Twitch. Not anymore.
So I was looking at other games that are doing better than that, and it is so funny.
What was it? Baldur's Gate was the side bitch. That's what that was.
Oh. Okay. Or Diablo was the side bitch.
Yeah, Diablo, I mean.
So Diablo was like 1,300, right? Sea of Stars, 2,300. So
doing really good.
I heard I'm not supposed to like that game, Brian.
Why?
Uh-oh.
Have you heard the controversy? But I'm not going to say it on air, but I'll tell you about it. Yeah. See, I realize I'm terminally online because I know about all this shit, man.
What is online? I don't understand this realm.
There's certain people that will call you a bigot if you buy this game, but I'll tell you off air. Go ahead.
All right. So other numbers include, I'll talk about the funny ones because the boring ones are not exciting. So Final Fantasy 16 has 5,000 viewers, which is quite high. Other games that are higher than Diablo 3 include Sea of Thieves with 3,500. Which one first? Okay, I'll go with the funnier one last. Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, 3,000 viewers. So more than twice Diablo 4. And the one that gets me... Oh, here's the funniest one that I seen, which I did not expect to even see. A game here has 3,200 viewers, and its name is Halo Infinite.
Damn, it's more than Diablo?
That's why I said it's really funny, because I'm like...
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool. Also, I went on Steam, because again, you can see the player counts, and it's really funny. Starfield, it's saying that it's the highest-selling game on Steam this moment, so that's fine, whatever. In terms of player counts, it's the fourth highest at the moment with 220,000 players at this point in time. Baldur's Gate 3 has 313,000 players at this point in time. And that's the second highest game. The highest game is
CSGO.
CSGO.
Of course.
But try and guess with how many players?
700,000.
Nope, higher.
What?
900,000.
Wow. 835,000 players.
Jesus.
Yeah, that fucking game is fucking...
Defies all logic.
It has a logic. You just don't like that logic.
Yeah, well, this is why the fucking logic game wins. Industry does the shit that it does.
It's insane. And then the peak player count today, 1.4 million players.
Wow. What was the peak for Starfield?
260,000. So it's hovering just below the peak at the moment. Peak was 260, current is 220,000.
Interesting.
Very respectable numbers. Again, still early days. Let's see how things are. And of course, somehow, GTA 5 is the 10th highest. I'll just skip over that. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, fuck that game.
I'm going to close down all these windows because it's depressing me and jump out to Starfield.
Oh, man. All right, moving on here. Let's talk about the other big game of the moment right now. Baldur's Gate 3, people. It released the same day Starfield did, but came out on PlayStation, currently a PlayStation exclusive, and it's apparently doing very well. It's it's now currently the highest rated PS5 game ever. Isn't that crazy?
Jesus Christ. They beat Sony at their own game.
Yeah, like that is crazy. And this is according to Digital Foundry / Eurogamer, so take it how you will. They said Baldur's Gate 3 on PS5 is effectively the PC version on ultra settings. I find that statement highly dubious.
That is 100% fucking lies. I know this to be a fact. I have checked up on it. It is between medium low and medium settings at 1080, and it doesn't hit 60 FPS reliably.
Uh-oh. Yeah. When I read that, I'm like, yeah, sure, bro.
Yeah, that's just straight up fucking lies.
Yeah.
Lies of P.
Lies of P, you know. But regardless, the game seems to be a hit on PlayStation. Fans are having a good time with it. I read this one blog post talking about how, you know, they converted like all the commands and shit to like radial menus. Pretty cool stuff. Like I said, that's the only way I'm going to play. I'm not fucking mouse and keyboard. I'm not playing that shit.
You all this like a month ago when I played that shit on Steam Deck.
Yep. So, like you said, they just converted everything, you know? But yeah, good stuff, man. Yeah. No surprise that one of the most celebrated games on PC is now one of the most celebrated games on PlayStation, you know? So yeah, good stuff.
Go Larian. Like, I gotta say, like, now, even I, and I think me and Brian were both like, y'all need to put this on your fucking radar. This shit's gonna be big. I don't think either of us thought it was gonna be this big.
Yeah, but again, it was a confluence of a bunch of things, you know? The stars just aligned perfectly for this game, you know? Which is a good thing. So yeah, good stuff.
Just to mention, I mean, same thing happened with Elden Ring. Everyone was
the stars, over the top
before it came out, but the stars aligned in a way where it's like exceeded anyone's expectations.
You know, you might even say it's the perfect storm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, again, game's dope, but that statement is stupid. I'm sorry, that's dumb, you know? All right, now here's some more. Brian, I'm sorry, we got to talk about Grand Theft Auto now.
Do we have to?
Yes, but not five. Talking about six. Grand Theft Auto 6.
I heard about this.
And this is something we kind of talked about in passing for years. Like, you know, when it comes to the value of a game, I believe some of us, even myself, would probably say, like, yeah, game like Grand Theft Auto is probably worth more than $60 because of the shit you get. Well, it seems that according to a rumor here that that Grand Theft Auto 6 could potentially cost $150 at launch. You know, because apparently the game costs like
Ain't
that about a Switch, you know? So apparently the game's been in development since 2014 and it's costing them $200 million or something like that. The budget's crazy. You know, and
maybe they shouldn't have released it by now then.
Yeah,
that's not my fucking problem.
But Brett, you and I have talked about this. It's like when you get a game that gives you so much value, you've said you would be willing to pay more for certain games that give you a lot of value.
Yeah, not this one that fucking wrings it out of you. Like the amount of money that this game has gotten out of me is more than the game is worth. And so like, unless you're telling me Rockstar is giving up their exploitative business practices that try and wring every drop of money that they can out of you, but I don't fucking see that happening.
By the way, 10 days from now, 10-year anniversary.
Oh, shit. It's been 10 years?
That's right.
Wow. 2023. And that'll also be the 10-year anniversary of the last time I went to a midnight launch. Manny and I were there specifically. We were both at SCFU Play, and we interviewed people on the line, you know?
Yes, we did.
That was a fun night. But yeah, $150. I think I kind of call BS on that. Like, apparently, these were talks that they were having internally. It's like, yeah, maybe we should charge $150 for this. They probably won't. No game is going to sell for that much. That's just crazy talk, you know?
Yeah, and everyone has internal talks. I mean, I'm pretty sure Sony had internal talks about charging $800 for the PS5.
Yeah, right.
But then they were like, nah, let's not do that.
Like, nah. You know?
Now we good.
So, yeah, I call shenanigans on that. That's two stories in a row where I call shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans. I think it'll be $150 for a specific edition. I could see that, like, special edition and shit. You get like a little Nico Bellic doll or something. I don't know.
Nico, brother, hey, Nico, hey,
brother Nico, hey. You know,
you get there's more shark cards and all that shit. Is that the currency that they use in that game?
Roman.
Yeah.
Why do you need more shark cards?
Oh man, yeah, shark cards. There you go. All right, and the last story of the night. Because sorry, people, we're not doing another 4-hour show tonight. Okay, E3 drama, people. You know, so Reed Pop has decided to cut its ties with E3. So we don't know if it's even going to happen next year. And on cue, 30 minutes later, man, after that announcement dropped, Manny, you know what happened 30 minutes later? Who posted something?
Yeah, Mr. Keeley, and I'm sure he's working with Reed Pop now, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. We don't know that yet, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, basically, E3 says, you know, we cut our ties with Reed Pop. We don't know where we're going to be located next year. 30 minutes later, Summer Game Fest. We will be back in L.A. next year. Didn't miss a beat, you know?
Keeley's firing on all cylinders, man. He wants to make them pay. Whatever the fuck they did to him, he's like, fuck you, I'm taking you down.
Yeah, but we'll be there, you know? Shit is crazy, man.
I'll be there.
Oh, my God. Summer Game Fest returns.
How about you, E3?
Fucking hilarious. looking at some of these comments, Paris goes, Jeff, and he goes with a gift. You know, that was cold-blooded. Oh, man. So, yeah, I think E3 is basically dead. But Summer Game Fest has taken its place. So, there you go.
Barry Byrne boycotting New York Comic Con.
Yeah, you always say that.
Of course he wants to say that.
You know? Manny, you're not going this year, are you?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't approved for a table, so we'll see. Motherfuckers. And they don't love me, man. That's the way it is.
Wait, when is
the way it is?
Probably is. I know it's in October, you know?
Oh.
Let me check. I'll be there. It's funny. I even asked my boss. I'm like, hey, if I like sign up for a press badge, am I obligated to like write something on it? He's like, no, just sign up. I'm like, okay. my boss told me that shit, you know? What happened, Carlos?
It's October 12th through 15th. I was like, oh, maybe I'll be there when Comic-Con. Nope, yeah. Missed it by a couple of days.
I'll check that out. I'll go on a weekend, though. Got to work during a week, you know?
Man, you going to Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, man, old nerds. You know,
nerds.
So yeah, E3. I think this thing's pretty much dead at this point. You know, I think it's gonna be Jeff Keighley's show. It's gonna be the taking it over. GTA 5 released September 17th, 2013. Are we gonna get a special GTA throw quest on September 17th, 2023? Is that a Thursday? September 17th.
I doubt it.
Let me see. Let's see what day it is.
Oh, it's Sunday.
Run your questions. No, we're not gonna have a special on it. We've talked about the game enough, you know. But yeah, okay. Yep, that's it. We're done. Good show tonight. Again, we're going back to normal sized episodes. We gave you those extra large ones because of the special occasion, episode 450, you know. So yeah, do we have anything to plug around here?
Nope.
Yes. This weekend, I guess God willing, let's see how Adam is doing. I Am Negan is supposed to be coming back because The Walking Dead, the Daryl Dixon show, aka the Double D, is supposed to be back on this Sunday on AMC, and we're going to be covering it on our podcast called I Am Negan, which is a podcast in the Coalition with a K, coalition.com. Anywhere on YouTube, search up I Am Negan or The Coalition with a K. You should be able to find the show. We'll talk about the Daryl Dixon show. Hopefully it's good. It's in Paris. Maybe there's some more.
Probably New York.
The show than the previous one. Is that in New York? No. Not when they went to Washington. Now that's why I said I'm out. But they went, and I'm like, yo, Adam, I thought you were out on The Division. Now they went back to New York, though.
They went back to New York. Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God, Adam, man. Get better, Adam. Hopefully you'll be back
soon. Yeah, feel better, man.
Feel better.
All right, people, we're done here, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. By the way, people, keep it civil in the comments, man, in the Discord. Jesus, I saw some of that shit, man. I was like, you guys are just going around in circles and shit. Like, chill. This ain't that round serious, and
round,
you know?
Around and round.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, you can find Throwdown on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Monjoma.
The rumor is that Rotten Tomatoes reviews have been bought for the last 5 years, to the shock of no one.
Yeah, controversy. You know, I saw that shit. All right, people, we'll be back on Sunday with the regular Throw Down Your Questions. So we're going back to gaming questions, limit to two each. And if you want to ask more, sponsor each other, you know. Back to gaming questions, people. All right, we'll see you then. Later.
Peace. Laters.
Peace.